You're listening to The Writer's Voice on Virginia Voice, and I'm Jennifer Robbins, your host today. Our guest today is local author Nicole Eunice, Christian counselor, ministry leader, and regular mom, and author of She's Got Issues, which explores five everyday issues that can hold you back from living free and loving well. I'm honored you're here today, Nicole. Thank you for being with us.
I'm so glad to be with you, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. Now, I really loved your book, Nicole.
Thanks.
I first got introduced to it at Hope Church when I attended a women's ministry series called Thrive. We were assigned to read the book, then discuss each chapter as the weeks went on. It's really a great discussion book. I like how you have the journaling exercises at the end of the book, plus each chapter has discussion questions. Can you tell our listeners how you came to write this book? And I understand it's your first book. So how did you come up with this amazing format?
Oh, thank you. Well, there's a couple of different pieces to the story about how I came to have the opportunity to write. One of the things that I think was stirring in me a lot was just feeling like there wasn't a voice out there that I could read or hear that was really, really honest and was willing to maybe meet me right where I was. And so I would stand, I recall very well, standing in the middle of a Christian bookstore here in Richmond and looking at this women's section of books, and everything was pink or purple, and as I like to say, had straw hats and flowers on it. And I like flowers, I like pink, I like all those things. But I also felt like, huh, I just need something that's a little bit more gritty, maybe just a little more real. And at the same time that that was happening, I was also raising three kids. All my kids were under the age of five, and just to come sort of to the end of myself. And also what was happening at that time was I was in private practice counseling. So I would spend, you know, a few hours a week. I was working part-time, and I would talk to women all the time, you know, and they're in a closed room, and they're honest. And I felt like a lot of things that these women are dealing with are things that I'm dealing with, and I don't feel like there's something that I can give them, and there's not something for me that's addressing some of these things that just a lot of women aren't talking about, yet they're all experiencing it, but everyone's kind of keeping it together and being nice and not sharing those things with one another. So that's kind of how the book sort of started, the seed of it.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, you talk about real issues that every woman can relate to in this book. This book is just so real. It's amazing. Can you touch on some of these issues, maybe one or two that mean something to you?
Sure. Well, they all mean something to me because I struggle with all of them, which is why I got to write the book. But one of the ways I said that you could sort of figure out maybe a little bit of what's going on in you for any listeners, one of the pictures I gave in that book was, imagine if your thoughts were just printed out. You just had a printer that connected to your brain for 24 hours, and everything that you thought or felt just came out in a printout, a transcript, so to speak. And what would that reveal about who you really are? So how do we get to the heart issues of what's going on? Not necessarily what we're doing on the outside, but the inside. So She's Got Issues touches on anger, fear, control, comparisons, and unforgiveness, and insecurity. And so those are things that I've seen in women from age, you know, 13 to 83 that are some kind of struggle in different seasons. For me, I think that two of the chapters I really enjoyed writing were on anger and insecurity, because I think it revealed a lot of my own sort of deeper things, as well as what God was teaching me through His Word and through other women, and what ways that He might be inviting us to deeper places with Him.
Well, I'll tell you, I could relate almost to all the issues, especially the fear.
Yeah.
Fear is a really big one for me.
I've heard that a lot.
I struggle with that sometimes, just the fear of, you know, maybe not being successful. It really can eat you up.
Mm.
And another one that I can really relate to is, I think it's the insecurity issue. I think that kind of plays with fear.
Absolutely.
But this book, it really touched me. Mm. I mean, I really could relate to it.
Well, Jennifer, you said this place of fear, and I think there's a difference between acknowledging and knowing what our fears are and acting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a lot of what I see in women is a disconnect between knowing how much they're acting on fear, acting out of fear. So we may think that we're being good, or that we're being great, or that we're loving people well, when if we were really honest with ourselves, we would realize that we're really scared of losing someone's approval, or we're really scared of failing, or we're really scared of pain. And so we start to act from those things, and then life feels out of control or too full, or we feel anxious and we don't know why. And I do think there's a difference between acknowledging real fear, because it's a real
right.
thing, and acting on it. And that's one of the things that we talk about in the book.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I want to know, how can the power of Christ transform our lives? Because you talk about that. Mm-hmm. You talk about that in the book. So we don't have to settle for letting our everyday issues win.
Absolutely.
I want to know how I can use the power of Christ to transform my life.
So one of the biggest things, I can't stop saying it because I just keep learning it over and over again, is that at the end of the day, I truly believe that all of us want to do things ourselves. We want to fix ourselves. So whatever the issue, small or large, there's just a big part of our spirit that we want to do it ourselves. And so even acknowledging a lack of ability to change is such a huge step. And it's saying, I know this thing has been going on. It's been going on for a long time. And I keep lying to myself that I'm going to be able to change it, but I'm not changing. And it's a very frustrating place to be. So for me, the first step is even acknowledging I am powerless before this, whether it's anxiety or a temper or this relentless comparing yourself to somebody else or always feeling like you don't measure up, that we're powerless to change that. And that's a big, big step in a spiritual life. Wherever you are with your understanding of who God is, acknowledging before God that you are not able to change yourself is making space to accept Him and what He can do. And so a lot of people I know like the idea of Jesus. They like it. He's a great teacher.
Right.
Great. He can make my life better. But we're talking about needing a savior. We're talking about needing rescue from something in you that you're not able to change yourself. That is an enormous difference. It opens up you up to a whole new world to understand scripture, to understand who God is, because to understand sermons, when you come from a place of being like, wow, something's going on in me that I can't change, and I actually need rescue. And whether it's something really ordinary, quote unquote, like your anxiety,
right,
let it bring you to a place where you want to be different. But let yourself off the hook, because you're not changing. You've tried and it hasn't worked. So
right,
this is an opportunity to try something different. And that something different is sort of opening your heart up to thinking, I actually need rescue. I need to get to a place where I'm allowing Jesus to change me from the inside out. And I'm not the one doing that. I'm not working that out myself. Now, He may lead you to some new places, but it's a subtle difference, but it's a very, very important difference. The difference being, I'm going to work this out myself and God's going to help me, and I can't help myself, and God Himself is going to change me from the inside out. I'm opening myself up to what He would do rather than my way of doing it myself with Him, like, along for the ride.
Right. So you're saying you can do that by reading Scripture, getting closer to God by reading the Bible, reading Scripture?
I think it starts with full honesty with ourselves.
Full honesty.
So full honesty to me, that's different than saying, sure, I know I'm a sinner. No, like, where are the places in your life that you absolutely do not trust that God is in control? Where do you feel like He hasn't cared or hasn't loved you? Have you acknowledged those things? Where do you really feel really scared? So scared that God doesn't feel big enough for that place. What is it in your life that is, maybe you've been wounded and you know that you just haven't healed from it? Those honest places are where you start to think, wow, I really do need rescue. So for me, I'm always saying, okay, get more on, a little more honest. Okay, you're almost there. You're getting there. Even just disappointment at life, like sometimes we just wake up one morning and we're like, I'm disappointed with the way life is.
Right.
And even that kind of honesty, and then going to God's word and then reading it and reading it through the lens of I'm really honest with who I really am. When you read a psalm that says, you know, that David wrote a psalm that said, what is God? You know, who are you, God, that you're mindful of us, that you care for us? How are we experiencing God meeting our needs? You know, many, many people know the Lord's Prayer, whether you're walking with God right now or not. You know, our Father who art in heaven,
sure,
hallowed be thy name. You know, we say, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, that is, what do you need from God today? You know, what would it be like in the morning to start with, God, would you meet my needs today? I might not even know exactly what I need, but I'm going to have faith and just enough trust for today that I might experience something, hear something, be encouraged by something, hear a word that absolutely feels like it's for me. And I'm going to believe that that is God Himself speaking. He is actually wanting to lead me somewhere. So there's a mindset shift here that we're talking about. It's not necessarily about doing more and more things. Although clearly knowing God's voice, if you've experienced and heard His word through the Bible, you're going to know his voice a lot better. Just like, Jennifer, if I read a bunch of letters that you had written,
sure,
and I really studied the letters you had written, I will know more about you. Mm-hmm. I'll understand your tone, your voice, what you care about, what you love, what you don't like. I could read a bunch of letters. They don't even have to be addressed to me.
Sure.
And I would know you a lot better. I would know what's important to you. So when we read the Bible, we're getting to know God and what he cares about a lot better. And we know his tone and his voice. That way, when you do experience something encouraging or hear something from someone, you will embrace that as God speaking to you. And you can start to feel his interaction with you on a daily basis.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is amazing. You're listening to The Writer's Voice on Virginia Voice, and I'm Jennifer Robbins, your host today. And our guest today is local author Nicole Yunus, Christian counselor, ministry leader at Hope Church, regular mom, and author of She's Got Issues, which explores five everyday issues that can hold you back from living free and loving well. What did you learn about yourself during the process of writing this book, Nicole?
Oh, gosh. mostly that I'm super messed up, and so is everybody else, and that's okay.
It's,
you know,
okay.
I think when you stop trying to be everything to everyone and stop thinking that, you know, the sun is going to rise and set on every, you know, your every move, action, and thought, you just start to embrace grace. It's really freeing. It's actually really fun. It's great to know that you're really super messed up and you're going to continue to mess up, and that God loves you and he just thinks you're his favorite. I mean, he just loves who you are, and he has big plans and big ways that he uses you. And I learned a lot about that through this. And another thing I learned is that a lot of people really struggle with these things. And so putting these words out there and having people respond and feel like, gosh, that really does feel like who I am. There's something really sweet about feeling like we know one another, anyone, any two people who feel understood and known. That's very encouraging, I think, in our lives. It gives us energy for the next day. So,
okay, great. Do you have a favorite story or a verse from the Bible that inspires you?
Yes, and it changes a lot, but I'll tell you the one that definitely inspired She's Got Issues. It's from Ezekiel, which is a totally freaky, weird book, and has a lot of weird stuff that happens with prophets and things.
Right.
But there's this little verse kind of nestled in there, Ezekiel 36:26, and it talks about God giving us a new heart. And it says that God can take our heart of stone out and put into us a heart of flesh. And what I love about that is the imagery of a heart transplant, because I think a lot of times I'm looking for a Band-Aid or I need God to fix this. And God is saying, actually, it's your whole heart is bad. The whole thing. Like, I am going to take the whole thing out and transform you. I'm going to give you a heart transplant. And this heart of flesh that I'm going to give you is going to have my law written on it. And you're going to know the way to walk, and you're going to know how to love, and you're going to feel and experience things a lot more deeply. Because if you think about a rock, you know, a rock is hard and things don't get in it. You can't penetrate a rock really easily. And so if we've been wounded or hurt, or life's concerns have built us up to a place where we've become really hard, it's great because we don't get hurt as easily, but it's also not great because love doesn't get in. And so this passage really reminds me that God puts a real heart in us, which means we feel things really deeply, and we may feel hurts really deeply, but we also will be free to really love people and meet them where they are and feel really free to be the humans that I think God designed us to really be. So I just love that verse, Ezekiel 36:26.
Now, is there a passage you go to when you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed or just insecure or just fearful? Is there a passage that you say to yourself that helps you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different snippets of verses, and memorizing scripture is huge, but I don't say that in a way like, oh my gosh, get to it, you know, learn a whole chapter. Memorizing is hard. It's just hard to memorize things. So I usually say like, hey, if you could even get like one line in, you know,
right,
that line can really nourish you. And a long time ago, I memorized Psalm 16. And so it becomes my go-to because I memorized it. So it committed to long-term memory. And then when you have something there, you can actually move your mind from one thing to the next. So if you struggle with anxiety or you find yourself, even if you don't consider yourself a worrier, Some of us just like to think and overthink things.
Oh, I can relate to that, totally.
You know, we're just thinking it through. We're just evaluating every option. But you know in your heart, if you're honest with yourself, you're going nowhere. You're on a stationary bike that is not moving in
right.
any direction.
What good does it do?
And it's like a song that gets stuck in your head. You get a song in your head. You cannot get the song out of your head. Well, the only way to get a song out of your head is to sing another song. Because if you sing another song, you can't keep singing another melody inside of your head.
That's true.
So sometimes scripture is that other song. It gives you the chance to retrain your brain to something else. So very familiar to a lot of people is be still and know that I am God. One of my things that I used to teach clients in counseling all the time was to emphasize a different word in that phrase in your mind. So you might say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It makes your brain focus on those words when you are knowing that you're trying to accent each one separately and even saying them out loud. Something incredible happens in that space of 5 to 10 minutes where you focus on God's word and exactly what the words are saying. I really believe because God's word, it says it's living and active. One of my favorite authors, Peter Kreeft, said, we're reading the Bible while all the time it's reading us because it's alive. And it reads into us. So when you repeat those phrases, I think your heart can become settled. God can give you insight into what you're struggling with in a different way. And you know what? You just changed the radio station. You just tuned that other song out. And for a period of time, you focused on what was true and good and lovely. And so be still and know that I am God. Keep me safe, O Lord, for in you I take refuge. I say to my God, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. That's Psalm 16, the beginning of it. So knowing just a couple of pieces, don't get so caught up in every word being right, just knowing a few phrases, different ones. If God is for us, who can be against us? There's all kinds of powerful words in scripture that can help us change the station.
That is so inspiring. I love that. Would you like to share a passage from your book with us?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I would love to. So this is the end after all that talk on all those struggles that we all have. And this is in chapter 14 and just a couple paragraphs from here. What I'm talking about here is spiritual food and how we need food for our bodies to live. It says, we know that we must have food for our bodies to live. We can go for a long time without food. But when we do, we grow weak, unfocused, and confused. We cannot just stuff ourselves at one meal and expect to be nourished for the next month either. Our bodies function best when they receive healthy food at regular intervals. Our souls aren't much different. We cannot front-load our spiritual life at a retreat or through a book or one church service and expect to be nourished forever. We cannot go without spiritual food for a long time and expect our souls to be hearty and abundant. As children, food literally grows us. As adults, food, if used correctly, nourishes us so we can thrive and work and sustain our mature bodies. Likewise, at times, the food of God's Word actually grows us into new, mature beings. At other times, that same food sustains us and keeps us thriving in our work. The end result may be different, but the means stay the same. There will never be a time when we arrive as bodies that don't need food. And there will never be a time when we arrive as Christians that no longer need nourishment. That is why I love God's invitation to us. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and all you who have no money, come buy and eat. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3.
That was great. Nicole, do you have any new projects you're working on now?
I do. I'm so excited.
So tell us
about a couple things going on. The first just came out of another need, just like the one where I said, standing in front of that bookstore and looking across that women's section. Another real need that we've felt at Hope Church, we love what we get to do, did the ministry that we get to do together. And one of the things that we've loved about Hope is that we have a lot of people who come who are experiencing a life with God for the first time. Now, they may have been in church for a long time, but actually needing Jesus, actually wanting a relationship is new to them. And for many years, we struggled because we felt like we didn't have the book that we wanted to give them when they were in that place. Just the essentials. You know, I feel like people in general, when it comes to faith, most of us feel like people out there, people who aren't necessarily knowing God, They know more and they care less, when actually I think people care more and know less. And there's a little bit of something weird that happens in American culture, which is I think we think that we're supposed to already know this story. Like there's a cultural Christianity, and if you don't understand who Jesus is, what he did, why he came, why he died, then you missed the boat. Like, you were absent for a class that you should have been in when you were back 10 years old. Almost like the way people feel about the political system. You know, if you tried to get somebody to tell you their unbiased opinion on Republicans and Democrats, it is almost impossible to find that resource.
Oh,
there
absolutely.
Is a lot of spin. There's a lot of bias. People feel passionately. They won't sort of tell you the beginning. Like, if you're just like, begin at the beginning, what are Republicans and Democrats? You might think, I might have missed that fifth grade civics class because I don't understand it. Likewise, I feel like people feel that way about faith. They're like, can somebody begin at the beginning for me? What are the basics? And so we set out to write a book that just addressed the basics. What is a relationship with God? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Why did he come? What do I need to know about him? What does he offer? And who is the Holy Spirit? And how do you grow? So it's a short, short book, about 100 pages, and it's coming out in April. I wrote it with my senior pastor, David Dwight, so it was a really fun project to do together. It's called Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus. So it's coming out with David C. Cook then, and we are really, really excited about that.
Awesome. And when does it come out?
It comes out in April of 2014,
okay.
So beginning of April.
Well, that's going to be on my list to get that book.
Yay, I'm excited.
Yes. Now, do you have any audio companions for your book, She's Got Issues?
There's a fair amount of video that, obviously, there's audio components to it. On my website, there is a fair amount of audio as well in interview formats, lots of interviews. I went on Family Life Today this summer, so that's like a three-hour, block. But the book itself does not have an audio companion, much to my chagrin. I wish that it did. So we'll have to try to fix that.
Well, maybe sometime in the future. How can we find you on social media? So give us all your contact information so our listeners out there can find you.
Yeah, so the easiest thing to do is to know my name, and it does not have an E at the beginning of it. So it's Nicole Eunice, U-N-I-C-E, and I have a website, NicoleEunice.com, and Facebook, and if you Google my name, you'll find those things really quickly. So there's a bunch of resources on that site, and we've got some stuff coming up in Richmond that we're excited about, and there's a blog and lots of other things there. So that's probably the best place to connect.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, Nicole, do you have any last words that you want to share with our listeners about your book or just in general?
You know, I think the only thing I want to say is that if you can find the courage to face head on who you really are, you have the opportunity to experience just what I believe Jesus really meant when he said, I'm offering you life to the full, abundant life. Abundant life isn't about having things fixed and pretty and perfect, but it is about being free to be who you really are. And so if you can have the courage to walk that path, there is something really beautiful on the other side.
Wow, that's what I want. That's what I want for my life. Thank you so much for your time
Absolutely.
Today, Nicole. I'm so glad you came to join us here today at Virginia Voice. You're listening to The Writer's Voice on Virginia Voice, and I'm your host, Jennifer Robbins. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.